Good evening. It is 4:08 and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee comes to order. Make a motion to move to the full council.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Make a motion to move PCO 4924 to the full council.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Finance is adjourned. So we're just moving everything to the full council. So we will start the council meeting in a couple minutes. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I call the May 20th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
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 Thank you. Mayor Pecozzi, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening again, everyone. I just want to go over how the meeting will run this evening. So we are here to talk about the budget. The mayor has proposed a budget. It has come before us. So the way the budget hearings work is we will go one by one for each department that is listed on the agenda, starting with revenue, and we will discuss each department. First, I will ask council members if they have any questions for that department, and then we'll ask members of the public if they have any questions for that department, and then we will move to the next department. So there will be no amendments offered tonight. There will be no changes in the budget as of tonight. So we just move on to the next one, and then on Thursday of this week, then we will come back for a budget hearing, and that's when council members can make amendments to the budget, proposed amendments to the budget. So that's how the process works. First, council members, each director will come up and present their budget. Council members will be able to ask questions. Members of the public will ask questions, and then we will move to the next item on the agenda, the next department. With that, again, the purpose of the hearing is this is a public hearing on PCR 4824 and PCR 49-24. First up is a presentation of the budget by Mayor Frank Pecozzi. Mayor?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the Honorable City Council, ladies and gentlemen. We put quite a comprehensive message in with the budget. You've all seen it, so I'm going to forgo a speech and we can get right on into it. I want to bring up now our Finance Director, Peter Schaefer, who will present this budget.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So first up this evening is the revenue side. So we will go and we will be discussing the revenue that is in the mayor's budget. Okay. I just need a motion to open the public hearing. Councilman Howe, would you make that motion?
Move favorable action.
To open both public hearings, correct?
To open both public hearings.
Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Foley and Councilman McElroy, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor? Aye. We are now in the public hearing. Thank you. Mr. Schaefer, and if everyone, both directors and members of the public, please speak directly into the mic. It's very difficult to hear in here. And then also we need to make sure that we can hear it on the YouTube recording as well. Go ahead, Mr. Schaefer.
Well, I like to look at the big picture. And by the way, I started with your father 50 years ago on my first budget. This is my 50th budget, and it's the best one. Thank you. I just like to look at the big picture on the revenue side. And one thing that's a little confusing is if you go to the table on the table in the mayor's message just before page one. So just before page one. And you see property tax revenues goes from our current estimate from $233.2 million up to $234.4 million. That's only $1 million. We've got a 1.5% rate increase here. And this is because of the tangible tax reimbursement by the state. And under state aid, you'll see a pretty big increase. And $2.8 million of that increase is them reimbursing the city for our not charging a tangible tax on owners of less than $50,000 worth of tangible property. So there is the disclosure ad, we have a 1.81% increase in the levy, but you don't see that here because we're getting reimbursed 2.8 million of it by the state. The other bigger increase here on other revenue, and most of it's attributable to, or a good part of it is attributable to, an estimate of revenue for speed fines from automated devices, either red light or other. This has been in the works for some time. Boy, the chief and the deputy chief have spent a lot of time on this. The mayor's involved in it. We've talked with East Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls, and Providence. And the estimate that we have for half a year is low. It really should be higher, but we wanted to take it. We knew about this. It was the charter requirement says that when you knew you're going to be proposing something, you want to put an estimate in there. And I hope you'll listen to the presentation in June when this comes up, because it's a good plan. And the evidence shows that it's a money raiser, and it works, because the money declines into the second year. People realize that they can't go speeding by the elementary school. They're going to get a ticket. So there is some use of fund balance in the statement, but a third of what it was last year. We've worked hard at that, and it's way a much lower amount we're projecting to having to use this year than next year. The last thing I'll talk about is the school appropriation, and it relates to revenues, because state aid, the school aid is basically level funded from 24 to 25. So the appropriation for the schools is only a 2% increase. They're going to be challenged by this. We worked hard with them to come up with a number that they felt they could live with. I think they'll testify that they can live with this number, that the mayor's made a commitment if state aid comes in higher, that they'll get to keep that. But this is the real drivers here are having to make that contribution to the schools to keep them fully operational. And this is qualified by what the challenge for us was greater, because the state aid this year is so poor. And the other expense that I would look at on the municipal side, which the mayor speaks about in the budget message, is an increase in debt service of $1.9 million. We're planning to borrow probably $45 million in this summer for both the elementary and middle school projects that are underway and for the design and engineering services on the high schools. And we have to, we don't get reimbursed, and you all voted favorably on a resolution to try to get early reimbursement on the high school project. That's gone nowhere. So that's gonna be on our shoulders until completion of the high schools. So those are the drivers, the school appropriation, the debt service cost, a modest tax increase, 1.5%, and the initiation of some revenue, continuing revenue on the speed cameras and red lights. So that's all I have to say, Council President. Welcome any questions.
Thank you very much. So I'll start us off this evening. I think the one big thing, and you addressed it, that the council members and members of the public are looking at in the revenue projection is the $1.3 million for the cameras. So as the director mentioned, this has not come before the council. He said in June they will have a presentation. There's information that the police department has done on this. I know the mayor has met with other administrations, other mayors, to see how it works and stuff like that. And I look forward to that presentation. But I think the concern is from some council members, myself included, is putting the $1.3 million as projection when, just like anything else with revenue, it's a projection. So we, you know, it's not a guarantee, but since this hasn't come before the council, we don't know who the vendors are. We don't know how many cameras, we don't know the policy and all that stuff. I think the $1.3 million, it might be something that the council needs to look at on Thursday. Again, it's part of the mayor's budget, so 1.3 would have to somehow, we'd have to discuss what to do with that $1.3 million. I think it's important, again, for the meeting here this evening, is we can only talk about whether you agree or disagree of including this $1.3 million in the revenue side of the budget, because we don't have any of the details. The council has not approved purchasing these cameras. We've not come into an agreement on that. We haven't had the presentation on that. And that is not what is before us this evening. So we can't take any questions on how many cameras there are gonna be, what's the policy for the cameras, who's gonna be the vendor, when did it go out for bid, all these different questions. That will have to come up at a time when this is properly docketed, it sounds like in June. So for that particular item, I think we need to make sure that the council members and the members of the public, we just keep it. If you want to address that at this time, it's of whether you agree or disagree with adding in that $1.3 million as the projected revenue for the city. I think that's the key here for this particular meeting. At another meeting, if and when the administration brings it forward, that's when we will have all the information on the bid process, their research and everything like that. But at this time, we can't ask those questions because it's not docketed. So if you're going to speak on this particular item, it's really, do you believe it should be included or not at this time? Again, it has not come before the city council. A million different things could happen. The council could decide to go out to rebid something, hold something. The administration may bring it to us in June. Something could happen. They could bring it up later on. It all affects the number in the end. It could be voted down as well. We don't know all of these things. So those types of questions will have to come at a different hearing when it is properly docketed and the administration and the police department or whoever is going to present it can give their case for this. So I just want to highlight that. I also have the concerns that I've heard from my colleagues as well on the $1.3 million. I think if we're going to address that, that would come in the form on Thursday when members of the council are free to make any amendments or questions on that. So I'd like to start off here. Is there any questions from members of the council on the revenue side of the budget? Councilman Sanapi.
Just one. Director Schaefer mentioned that the estimate was on the low end at 1.3. I just wanted to ask what the high end was, just to know that if Thursday, whether or not I should propose a modification in that regard.
Director?
Well, the deputy chief provided us information on annualized basis, which they thought were conservative of $2.5 million. So this is just for half a year. We're assuming execution in December or January, but we've also looked at the other communities, with the exception of Central Falls. We're in the $3 million range on an annual basis for, with this parallel number of potential red light or speeding machines.
All right, thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm particularly disturbed with this item. And to be quite frank, I think it's rather bold to assume that this city council is just going to go ahead and pass these speed cameras. I think it's very concerning that instead of looking to cut costs, the administration is basically saying, we're really confident that this is going to pass. Don't worry about it. Let's plug in $1.3 million in revenue for speeding cameras. I've never seen anything like this in the time that I've been on the council, that we're going to put something in the budget because we're that confident that this is going to pass. There is no way on God's green earth I am going to support that item. And I will certainly be making a motion as such come Thursday. This is just ridiculous to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I think that the Council President said it well about, due to the Open Meetings Act, how we have to limit our discussion on this. And so I think that the context of that, I think that it reflects back on our limitations here when it comes to even in discussing how realistic that revenue is. The Open Meetings Act prevents us from, say, taking a poll of these of our colleagues to determine how likely it is or isn't that we would approve something like that. It's something where certainly we can take polls of our constituents. Our constituents, members of the media, are free to, of course, ask us outside of this meeting our views on it, our initial thoughts, but we sitting here cannot take any sort of a straw poll. So because of that, it seems premature for us to forecast $1.3 million on something where we simply haven't had that discussion or a vote on whether to approve or not. I would also ask a question to the finance director. This is regarding line 100-3525, rescue services, rescue service fees on page 60. So I'll preface this by saying that other items on the revenue budget, I see many items on the revenue budget that seem very reasonable, seem in line. I have no reason to think that they would come in otherwise. To the best of our knowledge at this point, looking at, really, there is always going to be some guesswork when it comes to these sorts of budgets, projecting out revenues a year from now. But the rescue service fees, I see in fiscal year 22, those raised a little over 3.8 million. In fiscal year 23, 3.9 million. And then there's a projection for the current fiscal year 24, to raise 4.2 million, but that hasn't fully materialized. And then we have a proposed 4.2 million fiscal year 24 projected 4.1 million. That hasn't come in yet. But then for fiscal year 25, we have a projected or proposed 4.2 million. It seems it's not completely out of line in terms of orders of magnitude, but we are still talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm not sure how we're getting that extra $200,000, $300,000 for that line item.
Well, if you look especially at the early years going back to 22, we were negatively impacted by the pandemic. People were not calling the rescue. We had a real decline. Now that's changed since then, but we've got an estimate of 4.1 million, and I might have Lynn Rogers speak because she works on this a lot more than I do. But it just basically it assumes what I can't remember. Is there any indexing in the rate? There is indexing in the rates, and Lynn can speak to that to get to that 4.2 million. We're allowed to change, I think, once a year, based upon the Medicare reimbursement rate. So there is a indexing based upon the Medicare reimbursement rate, which changes every year.
Well, that makes sense to me. Thank you.
Mayor Bocosi.
Mr. President, I just want to speak for a minute to the traffic hammer assumption. We've done this in the past couple of budgets, not with the traffic hammers, but the sale of school property. We sold them. We didn't know if they would be sold. It was a bid system, so they had to come back to the city council to be approved. So had the city council not approved those sales, it wouldn't have been in the revenue. It's an assumption of revenue, and that's what we went with. By past practice, we're just doing the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have questions? Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. Just a couple questions on the revenue side. Sale of city real estate. The 1.9 million that's in 2025, is that one of the transactions that's already been approved that pushed, or is that additional properties?
If you look at, and this is on for other people, page 62.
Yep.
When we closed on the transaction, and Tom can probably speak to this, we got basically a down payment, so that you'll see that we had estimated we had a revised estimate of 2.5 million. We're only going to collect 500,000 on this. And I discussed this in January or February when I did a mid-year review. We're not going to get close on that transaction until at least fiscal year 25. So that's why it's showing the 1.9 million in 25. The estimate, the projection for this year is down to only 548,000. So it's really moving the final collection. We're gonna get the total collection, but it's moved out a year. And Tom would have to speak to the details of the timing on that occurring and what has to transpire before we receive the final payment.
Okay. And well, I mean, I think that's good news because we went into last year with a fairly substantial structural deficit and a planned drawdown on the rainy day fund, which included this nearly $2 million in expected revenue. And I believe the last time you gave us an update, you were able to close that gap and reduce that drawdown to something around $2 million, or can you give us the exact numbers there? Or approximate?
Yeah, if you look at the same page that I referenced, the last page of the mayor's message, When you passed last year's budget, we were looking at a drawdown on fund balance of 7.1 million. We're now projecting 1.3 million, and we're contemplating 2.6 million from fund balance, and also some we're closing out some old accounts that have been sitting there for 20 years. And this, we did scrutinize, the mayor talks about this. He asked me to scrutinize the financial statements after the completion of last year's audit. There's a number of accounts that haven't been active for years, and we're going to move those. The proposal is to move those resources with one offsetting entry into the general fund.
Okay. Next, just a general question about property taxes. Thinking forward to, you know, when the new high school construction bonds will need to start making payments on those. And I think previous estimates you had provided are somewhere on the order of $15 million in debt service.
My analysis, which I, the first one that we prepared, the finance office prepared before the vote, was net debt service after the state aid, continuing debt service of $11.9 million. Later, we tested, the figure had moved up because the interest rate situation had deteriorated further. So we were really talking $13 million in net debt service after the state aid, continuing after completion of the project. But in the interval before, and I talked about this, we're not going to get reimbursed on the high school debt service until project completion. So that there will be a challenge for an interval until completion before we get that balloon payment from the state, unless the state legislature changes the law.
Okay. So I guess my question is just, you know, acknowledging that there's a, you know, a lesser than last year deficit in this budget and plan drawdown on the rainy day fund, and anticipating the debt service payments on the short-term loans prior to that balloon payment, you know, have we gone far enough in terms of raising revenue in this fiscal year to not have, you know, a shock in, you know, next year or the year following?
I mean, as I said, the driver here is a $1.9 million increase in debt service costs.
Right.
And two-thirds of that is really related to the elementary and secondary school projects. But we're going to have the first chunk of high school debt service costs in the 25 budget, and it will increase substantially in 26.
Had, you know, was there consideration in setting the levy and setting the plan for funding this budget this year in entering with no structural deficit or no drawdown on the fund balance and you know, coming in at a zero-based budget without having to rely on the rainy day fund?
Well, we know of two things that are occurring. And one of them is what we just talked about, not getting any reimbursement on the debt service associated with the high school until project completion. We also have an issue with a substantial decline in pension contributions, conceivably in 2028, although right now they're pledged to OPEB contributions. We've got two things ahead of us that will help, that can help offset those costs. But the fact of the matter is, and it's never been said otherwise, we're going to have some debt service costs that are going to be challenging for the city going out to 2028. We're talking really $13 million in increased costs on debt service associated with both elementary and secondary and the high school projects, with the high schools, none of it being reimbursed to completion. So that's a challenge for us. And because we're looking at a balloon payment, and I gave you a whole table on that a year ago when we went over that, that will restore, hopefully restore some of the fund balance when we get to that stage.
Okay. Is there anything active in this legislative session that concerns you in terms of similar concerns to, you know, in some of the ways we've had negative impacts from the car tax elimination and the tangibles?
I think that the mayor mentions this, the tangible tax reimbursement, we believe we're essentially going to be shortchanged around $250,000.
Yep.
Because they're not allowing for growth. And some other communities are saying it's a lot more for them. I think we're fortunate in not being as the magnitude that some other places in terms of the rules of the reimbursement. So, and there is legislation that the mayor's aware of and the league has been working on to try to correct that. So it would be, if it is correct, if it is corrected, there would be another $250,000 in revenue, 240. But I don't know what action is going to take place.
So. Okay. So you see maybe potential upside, but no pending additional new downside.
It would be premature to estimate something like that. So.
Okay. When... Just talk to us a little bit about the recreational cannabis line item.
Can I just add one other thing?
Yeah, of course.
Because I knew there was something else. And the mayor talks about this in his message. We thought we were going to get indexing on the motor vehicle aid beginning this year.
Right.
And the governor's budget proposed eliminating all indexing permanently. You know, this just puts pressure on the property tax. Right now, if they hadn't gotten rid of the motor vehicle car tax, we'd be getting big increases in that. You know what's happened to values of used motor vehicles. It's evened out now, but for a period there. So, and the whole proposal that was sold to us was that we were going to get indexing to compensate us for losing the tax. And it's a little unclear as to what year it was supposed to start. In my view, it was supposed to start this year, 2 years after it was phased out, and the legislature acted to phase out the tax a year before they had so much money. They phased it out a year before they were supposed to. So in my opinion, we should have been getting indexing, and that would be $750,000.
Right.
What's going to happen with the budget has an article that gets rid of indexing permanently. So that just puts pressure on the property tax because there's no other place to go.
Okay.
On the revenue side,
on the recreational cannabis, you know, this is a line that's overperformed the budget, or it didn't, or it's projected to in 2024, and it looks like you kept a straight line for 2025. Is there any what went into that forecasting, or are you just kind of conservatively thinking it'll stay?
Well, we've got. I guess we have two of the seven in the state here. And I understand business is good, but I also understand the prices have dropped. So I would say this is, assumes business is good, but assumes that the price and you're getting a percentage of the price. I think this is a reasonable estimate based upon our collections so far this year. And there's no reason I would be comfortable with a substantially higher figure based upon collections evidence we have thus far this year.
Okay. Last question. We know from the news that the airport has ceased their $500,000 pilot payment to the city, and that the General Assembly is expected to add that or to fund that through the state budget. Is that still in the same line item that it was previously in the pilot, or is it somewhere else?
I mean, the way the law reads, the state has to step in, and the mayor and I took one of my first trips to the state house in the last 4 years, and the speaker introduced the bill, had a hearing before the finance committee, and made it very clear to the members that this had to happen because they were required to do it under state law. So I don't really have any hesitation on that $500,000 figure. We've got good growth in the other revenues, the rental car tax, the parking tax, the hotels, those are all incorporated in here.
Okay. And that is that in line item that's in the pilot line item?
Let me find it here. So we've got, there's four different airport categories here. Mm-hmm. There's airport EDC, and that's based upon landings, and the other airports in the state get some of that. It's just based upon landings. Then there's the $500,000, which is the statutory one.
Parking.
Then we have $850,000 on the airport rental surcharge. That's a slight increase over what we're expecting. We had budgeted last year, and then we have the airport parking surcharge, and you know people are flying again, so I think we're comfortable with all those estimates.
Okay. All right, that's all for me for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the council? I haven't got a chance to speak yet. Mayor, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to mention on the school reimbursement, I'm still hopeful that we can get the laws changed where they would start reimbursing us as we go. As more and more cities and towns are getting into the group building schools, there's quite a coalition of municipal leaders forming, and we've discussed with League of Cities and Towns. The speaker's been reluctant so far, but I think it's gaining more support, and RIDE supports it too. So I haven't given up hope that we can start getting some reimbursement as we construct the schools.
Thank you. Any other questions for members of the council? I haven't had a chance to speak yet. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So this will be for Director Schaefer, please. Director, I'm not sure if I understood your answer to Councilman Gebhardt.
Councilman, can you speak?
So,
right in, yeah.
The payment in lieu of taxes pilot, your proposed budget for this year is $1,691,000. I'm not sure if you had stated to Councilman Gebhardt, is the $500,000 that is hoping to get here from the airport, is that part of the $1,691,000?
Yeah, the $500,000 that we're talking about is on page 62. Code 3326. That $500,000 is the amount that I thought I was being asked about by Councilman Gebhardt.
Where is that? So I guess the answer to the question is no, it's not in that $1,691,000. So it's on page 62.
Yes.
We're on page 62.
The fourth one down, airport parking fees, $500,000.
And that's in parking fees?
Yeah, probably the title. That title has been there for years. That's really not right.
So
the parking surcharge is where we get the parking fees, but that is the $500,000 statutory amount that's embedded in the general laws. I guess the FAA said we weren't providing enough services. That's the $500,000 that we're talking about.
So that's why. So are you saying that the pilot, that $500,000 I'm talking about, that's actually shown on this budget revenue as airport parking fees? Is that what?
Yes, and if you go back, if you go back 10 years, it's been the same category. We should change that title because the parking fees.
You actually can't. Federal law prohibits pilot money. There is no pilot money to any airports in the country. They had to label it as something else. They don't allow payment in lieu of taxes. It's just a title.
So then it's disguised under airport parking fees.
They just had to name it something different. And that's what's in the state general laws too.
And we didn't get that $500,000 last year?
We don't know
if we're getting it this
year.
No, we did, but we're getting
it from a different source. Last year it had to come from RIAC. This year it's coming from the General Assembly, or the state budget.
Has that been approved by the General Assembly?
Yes, well, they have no choice. But the Speaker, when Peter and I were there, he made the motion to appropriate it at the committee meeting.
Has it been approved and has it been signed by the governor?
It's going into the budget.
It's going into the governor's budget?
Yes. And if
so, the answer is right now, we don't have the $500,000 in our hands right now. As an assurance, right? We know things change. Peter, on the sale of city property, you have this year, you've budgeted for $15,000. So what's the difference between the sale of city property and the sale of city real estate? What's the difference? Why is there two categories? It's about halfway down on page 62.
I could have the treasurer up here, but there's never been a material amount budgeted in sale of city property. We've been using the sale of city real estate as the main category for this. And as I said to Councilman Gephardt, the timing of the receipt of that money has been moved to fiscal year 25. And Tom can speak to the details of it. I can't do that.
So in looking at this a little deeper, in fiscal year 2023, the actual number budgeted for sale of city property was $14,498. But yet, when I look at the revenue budget for 2023-2024, it's showing a revised budget of $4 million. It's showing a year-to-date total as of March 31st, 2023, of 1 million, round numbers, 1,900,000, with a projected $4 million. Why is it in the document that we have here today showing in 2023, $14,498 for the actual budget, when as of March 31st, 2023, the budget was $1,900,000?
I'd have to get the treasurer up here. We wanted to consolidate all the costs, all the revenue in one category. We did that so that you can get comparable information from one year to the next.
Well, doesn't that make it a lot more difficult for people who are trying to analyze and understand this? I mean, I've got two documents in front of me, one showing a projected for fiscal year 2023 of $4 million. What I have in this year's document shows essentially nothing. And now you're saying that, oh, we kind of grouped this up into one thing. Where did you group it up into? And when were we ever notified that this, by the way, this has changed. The $4 million isn't really in that line. It's in some other line. And, you know, pilot isn't really pilot. It's something else. When does the city council or when do the taxpayers get notified of these changes?
This is like mind-boggling, trying to find, you know, this myriad of shells all over the place.
All I can tell you is that there's no material dollars in this code sale of city property. It's material dollars are in sale of real estate, are sale of real estate, and these are, we're comfortable with those numbers. There could be a chance that some of the 1.9 million will not be received until the following year, depending upon the timing of what has to happen on that transaction.
But Director, on March 31st, 2023, in your budget document, it says you've received $1,899,155. I mean, I'm not dreaming the numbers. This is what it says right here. But yet, in this document that we have this year, the fiscal year 2023 actual has changed from, at minimum, $1,900,000 to $14,498. Where'd the $1,900,000 go?
Hi, Councilman Lynn Proger, City Treasurer. I think that this document can be really difficult to kind of read, and that this $1.9 million is actually meals tax.
Which is what?
The second line
it's
down
a,
is meals.
Excuse me, I didn't hear what you, it's a what?
It's meals tax.
Meal?
That is the $1.9 million at the end of March. Meals.
Meal tax.
Second down.
I'm
on page 62.
Item, Director, I'm looking at item 03678, sale of city property. Now you're saying that's meal tax?
No. I'm saying city meals tax is actually at $1.9 million at the end of March.
No, I'm not talking about
and
city meal tax.
And if you go down and you look at 03678, it says $18,000. And 3679 is $548,000.
Well, in my book, it doesn't say meal tax. It says sale of city property. It doesn't say anything about meal tax. So is this like, I'm reading the wrong number? I can read. I know what I'm reading. I'm reading 03679, sale of city real estate. It doesn't say meal tax. It says city real estate. Where's the meal tax? Come and show me over here where it says meal tax.
Yeah, Councilman, read the line item that you're talking about again. The number, the account number.
Line item 100. It's about a little more than halfway down the page on 62. 03679er, sale of city real estate.
And so you're talking about 14,000. That's the number above it. You keep mentioning
city,
the 14,000.
City property. Yes. Sale of city property. That's not meal tax.
Yes, but.
And the same thing on the other, on last budget. It's sale of city property. $1,899,155. But now it's showing us something different. I don't understand it.
Councilman, I think we're looking at the same different numbers.
Apparently not.
If you go to the treasurer, she can, or why don't you go to him because he's got his stuff there. Councilman, you stay there so you have keep your stuff. Excuse us for a second, everyone.
Right here, 03678, sale of city property. And this is what it's showing right here.
Sorry.
In fiscal year 2023, it's showing 14,498.
So you said this one, you were saying 1.9 through March 13th.
No,
I thought that's where
no,
you were talking
no,
about.
23, I said, 23.
Okay.
23.
You're in 23.
And over here, fiscal year 2023, revised budget, $4 million. Fiscal year 2023, year-to-date expended, 331.23.
You're on the wrong. This is last year's. This is
I know.
I'm sorry.
But this is last year's. This is the same item, right? 2023. Actual, 14,498.
So you're saying that the projection from the budget last year was incorrect.
No, not I'm asking, where did this money go? Fiscal year 2023, March 31st, 23.
It
says $1,899,155. Over here, it says $14,498.
So the sale of property was differentiated here So this was actually miscategorized way back in 23, so it got moved here. So it was a more accurate representation because the property is the property. That's the buildings and all of that. The property is, we just sold a boat on the auction and all of that. So there was a little category switch here to make it clear what was property and what was not property. So if you put these two together, it'll make more sense. Sorry, I just wrote on yours downline. So you'll see real estate here is real estate. When this was printed, somebody had done the journal entry in our books and I asked them to move it over to here. Does that make sense?
So this 1.8 went into this?
Correct. It was miscategorized at the printing. So I moved it over so that it was clear.
Moved it over where? Into this?
To real estate. Yep. So if you put those two together, that's what? 3.2.
While they work on that, is there any other questions for members of the council for the finance director on revenue? Any questions on revenue while they're working on that? Councilman Howe.
Just quickly, Mr. President, I wanted to clarify what the mayor said. I thought he was clear on it. I want to just clear up some because of the discussion. The mayor said it. I may repeat it. If I am repeating it, I do apologize. The FAA determined that the RIAC did not have to pay the $500,000 by state law. The state and the legislature must pick up the responsibility of the $500,000, which we call the pilot money. We refer to the pilot money. The mayor went to the state house, and I went to the state house to advocate for that, among other things, for the city. And the speaker, Sakarchi, did advocate for that. The state budget wasn't passed, but Speaker Sakarchi did sit in the finance committee and explain that it is the state's responsibility to pay that $500,000 in lieu of RIAC. So though we have not received the money yet, though it was not in none of the state allocated money or mandates are in the city's hand right now because they don't pass the budget until June. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay.
Councilman Lattiser.
So Mr. President, what was just explained to me is what it was in 2023 isn't what it is today, because the numbers and switched around in this sense that the $1,899,000 out of sale of city property, not meal tax, was added to sale of city real estate of $1,004,000, which comes up to 3.2, so or 3.3. So it's still off by 200 and some thousand. But the point is, that's what makes it so difficult to try and understand these documents. Because things get changed, they get moved around, and we switch it up a little bit, and we're supposed to try and figure all that out. So, Mr. Schaefer, the other question I have is in fiscal year, it's going to be more of asking for an explanation from you. You have non-general fund, net of 0.8 million transferred from inactive capital project and special revenue funds to general fund. What is inactive capital project and special reserve funds? What are those categories and what are the monies that we're talking about? Those two total up to 0.8 million. But what are they? What is an inactive capital project?
Can you check to see if the mic is on?
We can't hear you.
On the going back to the 2010 flood, we have $128,000 left in a special fund FEMA reimbursement that we want to move to the general fund. That's over with. We have $163,000 left in excess hotel tax monies that have been set up in a special fund. They don't need to be in a special fund. They can revert to the general fund. And the solicitor has looked at all of these. I had a lot longer list to start with, frankly. And we've got an offsetting entry of FEMA reimbursements of $626,000, which we recorded as a general fund revenue in fiscal year 23. We have to reverse that. We have $367,000 left in an open space bond account from 2001. And it's not that we didn't spend the money. My looking going back in audits 20 years, we got a reimbursement from the state. It should have gone into the general fund at that point, but right now it's sitting in a special fund in the capital projects fund. We've got $13,000 left in a school fund. And the biggest one is we've got $815,000 left on a Rhode Island Energy rebate, which we've scrutinized, and we can take that money into the general fund. That comes up to a net of $862,000 that we can transfer those resources to the general fund.
The numbers that you just indicated total up over, and I'm just adding quick as you're talking, over $2 million. How does that net out? You said nets out to 0.8 million. How does it net out to 0.8 million? The numbers you just sent out to us was over $2 million.
Yeah, I didn't quite catch that question. I may have to put my,
we've got
$128,000 in the,
I know all those numbers that you said. The last one was about $800,000. Those numbers total up over $2 million. It's well over $2 million. And then you said that nets out to 0.8 million. How does it net out?
Because we have to restore on the FEMA grant, we have to restore money from the general fund to a special fund that was set up at the very beginning of the COVID pandemic. So the total amount that we can restore to the general fund from these six different special funds that I've identified and ancient.
So the $7 million bond, I believe it's $7 million, that's still sitting out there from, this goes back to Mayor Avedisian, that's still sitting there for Mickey Stevens complex, that doesn't have any bearing in this at all?
No, that's got nothing to do with this. That's an authorization we've never executed.
Okay.
This is actual cash in accounts going back 20 years.
Okay.
Only Councilwoman Travis was here when this started.
Okay. So the next thing I need to understand or have you explain to us how property tax revenue has declined. So in fiscal year 2022, you're showing a property tax revenue of, I'm just going to use round numbers, $237 million. And 2023, $226 million. 2024, $232 million. 2014, year to date, $198 million. Projected for this year of $233 million. And in fiscal year 2024, projected property tax revenue of $234 million. How did property tax revenue drop? And I'm looking at from a high to a low of somewhere maybe around $6 million over those 4 years, 3 years.
And it's because of the state reimbursements, both motor vehicle and this new tangible tax reimbursement. If you look at page, basically the last page in the budget, page 64, and if you go back to earlier years, you can look at an earlier budget. You'll see, for example, in 25, we're showing an offsetting a $3 million decline in tangible tax revenues, over $2.8 million of which will be reimbursed because the state is telling us, with good reason, that the small business owner needs a break they're going to get exempted for the first $50,000 of tangible property. So that the total revenue, even though we've got a 1.8% levy increase, the actual property tax revenue will only increase about $1 million from 24 to 25, because 3 million of that is the tangible tax reimbursement. And if you went back to 22, that was the last year we had the car tax. That's now showing up in state aid rather than as a property tax revenue.
So I understand. Okay, thank you. I understand that. So are we still at, for maximum tax increase, are we still capped at 4% of the levy?
Yes, the levy okay. increase, which was just advertised in the Warwick Beacon, was 1.81%. The cap is 4%.
Right. Okay, I understand. And our levy, using a round number right now, is $234 million. Would that be our levy for yes. this year? I'm sorry, did you say yes?
I said...
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said yes.
Okay, so the most that we can raise taxes would be roughly $9 million, $9,375,000, right? That's the most base. We can raise taxes.
Yes, except you can get an exemption under certain circumstances, so.
And that's inclusive of everything that yes. we got, right?
They've got some qualifications on the tangible, but we could spend a half hour debating that. But
what concerns me is, regardless of what we're not getting from the state, and I know it plays a role in this, ultimately, as a city, we still have an obligation to balance the checking account. And it concerns me that in spite of knowing rather significant withholds, we'll put it, or lack of funding from the state, that we're not much more aggressive at cutting expenses and at reducing overhead. And that is a concern. It's not just a concern for this city, it's a concern around the country. At some point, you have to start living within your budget. And I'm concerned that we have things we're doing to substitute lack of revenue by implementing fines and fees and cannabis and all this other stuff, instead of saying, you know what, we got to stop this, we got to stop that, we got to cut this, we got to cut that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. At this time, are there any members of the public who would like to speak on the revenue side of the budget? I also want to make a note, I should have said at the beginning of the meeting, on Thursday, right at the start of the council meeting, there will be public comments. So that is another opportunity for residents to come and speak on any topic, including the budget. And so as you see, we list out each individual department we're going to talk about. So if you don't get a chance to speak on something, it's later in the evening or something like that, there is another opportunity for members of the public to come first, and they'll be the first up on Thursday. So, and then can we just, someone turn on the microphone? Thank you. And so this is, we're just discussing the revenue budget at this time.
Thank you. My name is Barry Cook, 20-year resident of Warwick, president of the Warwick Taxpayers Association. I just had, give me a second here. This meeting kind of snuck up on me, so I haven't done a lot of research, but I did a little research. And I want to comment about the continued use of proceeds from such things as the sale of city property or city real estate, whichever it is, rainy day monies, cannabis revenues. Those are three items that are being used, as I see it, and I might be wrong, but as I see it, to balance the budget. In addition, there's been some discussion, which I wasn't going to bring up in that form, but I want to bring it up as it relates to revenue. And that's about the plan, the thought, the investigation, the research, the looking into of generating $1.3 million, $2.5 million in traffic violation fees. Now, if my math is right, and if I understand this correctly, those items, sale of city property, use of rainy day monies, cannabis revenues, and this new idea to seek 2.5 or 1.3 million in traffic violations to, I guess, look at this as a way to solve a structural deficit. None of this is sound fiscal policy. This is using one-time money, at least in the event of sale of property, rainy day funds, and cannabis revenue, coupled with the way I look at these traffic violation fees, is just a way to hide a tax on Warwick residents and taxpayers. Now, I know there was a mention about East Providence, Pawtucket, et cetera. It seems to me we need to establish a different fiscal policy as it relates to funding our budget. Either we have to put a hold on continued spending, the level of spending, which I'll speak about another time, the level of spending is out of control. So now you come back and you say, this is how you're going to raise a portion of the money to fund the deficit in the budget. So my only comment, I guess, in summation is, this is not sound fiscal policy. Sound fiscal policy would have been, should have been, during the last election when I was a candidate, and I'm not a candidate in the upcoming election, I gave it a shot, I'm done. But during the last set of elections, we were faced with making decisions as it relates to whether or not we should raise, whether or not we should have been going through a process of raising taxes incrementally, which we didn't do. Many of the council members pride themselves on saying, I've been on the council for 4 years and we've never had a tax increase. But in my point of view, we'd have been smarter to incrementally increase our taxes over those 4 year period. Now going forward, as it relates to revenue, we're right back where we were. When we look at what's going to be required to fund the city's government, the revenue is going to come from we Warwick residents. And looking forward down the road, when we start to kick in with the funding that the finance director talked about for the new schools, when the bond issues are floated in 2028 and 2027, because we have never taken a sound fiscal policy and reduced our spending, we're going to be hit very hard in the next few years looking for the revenue to fund the city's expenses, not to mention the $350 million for two schools that many of us don't think we need. So in terms of revenue, I would suggest that the city council, the mayor, you ought to get together and decide how you're going to put this city back on a fiscal basis that's sound, because right now we don't have that. And one final comment, can somebody please ask the finance director and Mr. Picozzi to speak into the microphone For those of us who are hard of hearing, which is me, it's very difficult to sit there and I have to say to my wife, what did he say? What did he say? Huh? So tonight when I go home, or tomorrow, I'm going to have to go on my TV set and bring this meeting up to find out what was said here. It's very disappointing that the people who speak before this group can't take into consideration. You don't speak Ed Lattisaw when you're answering questions, Mr. Finance Director. You speak into the microphone. Thank you very much. Before you shut me off, Mr. McAllister, I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak on the revenue side of the budget?
First of all, when I'm not listening, I'll loan you my hearing aids. Jim Italiani from Oakland Beach Heights. I am concerned about what I'm hearing. We're spending a lot of money that we knew we were going to spend some of it just even last year, but it really wasn't talked about. When we start talking about $13 million a year, just our share non-reimbursement of the school bond funds. Okay, that's a lot of bloody money. That was not brought up last year, was it? It wasn't brought up when we talked about funding these schools. Should have done that a long time ago. We have some constitutional caps, I believe. As you were mentioning, I think $9 million in property tax. Well, $9 million to $13 million, that's quite a stretch apart right there. Then we have some other constitutional caps, don't we, that we can't borrow that much more money. How close are we to these caps where we're gonna end up like a Central Falls or something to be taken over by the state? I don't think we ought to get to that point. We need to do something about it very proactively now. Last question about that. When you were talking about we raised, was it property tax? Was it 1.5%? Is that correct?
The rate is just under 1.5% increase.
What was it previous to that? What was the actual rate?
We had a revaluation last year, so that you can't really compare the rates. We had an update in the values.
Well, that's
the levy was up. The levy was up right around 3%.
So thank you. So that's kind of what I'm trying to point out. We're talking about 1.5%. That's not true, folks. Okay, it's more like 3%, so it's double what's being said. No. And that is from the increased property tax. So we, the taxpayers, we're not paying 1.5% more. We're probably paying something more like 4 or 5% more.
The levy, as advertised using state procedures, is up 1.81%, the levy. The rate is up 1.5%. The 0.3% comes from growth in new properties in the city.
The money coming out of my pocket is more than 1.5%. That's what I'm trying to say. And every other taxpayer in the city,
the money out of
I
your
believe.
Pocket from a property tax will be, if you approve these rates, will be 1.49%.
What's it going to be proposed next year? Okay. Please, let's get our budget house in order, and let's please not use such wild terms as meal taxes so that none of us understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Next resident.
Thank you. My name is Jane Austin. I'm the Chair of the Warwick Land Trust. I had a question about the transfer of the open space bond proceeds from into the general fund. Sorry, I wasn't aware this was going to be a part of it. So my question is, could you review the amount and the justification for that?
Well, these were bonds that were issued in 2001. And our analysis, my analysis of the financial statements is that after we spent, and I forget the total amount at the time, sometime later we got a reimbursement from the state, DEM, I think, on some expenditures we'd made. Those should have gone into the general fund. They went into the bond account. We spent what was issued back in 2000. but we got a reimbursement that the financial statements have been incorrect for 20 years because it should have gone back in the general fund. We're just taking that action now. There's really not excess proceeds from the authorization the voters made in 2000. And I just don't, I could research it, but I don't remember the number right now. I think it was $2 million. We spent all that $2 million. Sometime later, we got a reimbursement from the state, and it should have gone into the general fund, but it didn't. It went into this bond account. We're just trying to close out that account.
Okay, because I was just, if there was some chance that there were some open space funds available, we just wanted to be in a position to take any opportunistic action we might in terms of hazard mitigation, conservation, or opportunities to come up. So, but if in fact those funds are not residual bond funds, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Are there any other residents that would like to speak on the revenue side of the budget? Are there any other residents like to speak on the revenue side? Okay, the next department is the executive budget, and that is found on page 9. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Council President. Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff, presenting tonight for the Executive Office of the Mayor. You'll notice on all of the line items remain the same with the exception of salary. You'll notice there an increase in the hourly rate of the part-time receptionist's salary in the Office of the Mayor. The other salaries remain the same for this office.
Thank you, Chief. And another item that I wanted to mention to the council and to the members of the public. I asked the administration that when each director comes up to present their budget to let us know if there's any individuals getting a step increase, merit increase, if congressional contract increase, just to explain that right off the bat. It's always a question that we all have. So they have prepared to do that. So I appreciate that as well.
Certainly.
So are there any questions from members of the council on the executive budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Councilman.
Chief, what's the justification for the increased hourly rate of the part-time staff person?
Sure. So those hourly rate increases were made slightly through the current fiscal year. As you know, from the information that was sent to you this afternoon, the justification for those increases was, as you'll recall, prior to my becoming the chief of staff, I was the mayor's executive aide. I did most of the ministerial and administrative calendar functions, making the mayor's appointments, those types of activities. Upon becoming chief of staff, those were transferred to the two part-time receptionists. And with that increase of duties, the mayor saw fit to provide an increase of the hourly compensation for that increased duty.
What were the increased duties of a part-time staff person?
Sure. So specifically, they took over any ministerial task that I performed as the mayor's executive aide, anywhere from making the mayor's appointments, confirming those appointments, to processing invoices that come through our office.
What did they do before that?
They answered the front office line, which is the main line for the city. They connect that to various departments or to the mayor's constituent affairs liaison. They greeted and welcomed members of the public or visitors to City Hall, to the building.
Do you have a written job description for those two particular employees?
I personally do not know, Councilman.
You do not. So you're not suggesting that these part-time employees, or any other part-time employees for that matter, have received anything like a step increase?
No, they've received a change of the hourly salary.
And that hourly rate was just changed by the mayor. That nothing that has to come through the council or anything like that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's an administration prerogative.
It's not a step increase, though. Is that what you're saying?
I would not classify it as such, no.
Okay, because my understanding is
part-time employees are not eligible for a step increase.
Correct. They
okay.
As you know, the steps are different for each position. It's laid out in the documents that are kept by the personnel department. The hourly positions are different from that.
And that hourly rate, that was increased in this current fiscal year?
That was increased in this current fiscal year, yes.
And is there anything in this budget now that increases that rate again?
No, no. So what you see in front of you reflects the hourly salary change that was made in the current fiscal year.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Any other questions from members of the council on the executive budget? Any questions from members of the public on the executive budget? Any questions from members of the public on the executive budget? Okay, the next budget is the legal department.
Good evening, Aaron Mackesy, Mayor's Chief of Staff. I'll be presenting on behalf of Solicitor Ursillo.
And that is found on page 11.
Tonight, you'll see before you a requested 2% increase of salary for the solicitor and his assistant solicitors who represent the city on all of our behalfs. There is also an addition of a public defender line item, which is valued at $5,000. On advice of the solicitor, this is something that we really, really should already have. Should an individual member of the public who's facing a citation in municipal court come without legal representation and desire legal representation, they have to be afforded said representation, and the city has to fund it. So that's what that new additional line item is.
Thank you, Chief. That position, the public defender, is that just done through the council solicitor? I mean, the city solicitors.
Correct. Department?
They'll find somebody and send them along.
If an individual who was coming to municipal court, similar, if they needed a assistance for an impairment, they would contact the city clerk's office. We'd contact the solicitor, and under his authority, he would hire a temporary worker, public defender, for that specific case.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Pardon that, sunshine on the microphone, couldn't see if it was on. Okay, so the $5,000 on that line item, well, first, I should just get some clarification here. I see that public defender is marked as line item 12-360, and I see that that same line item appears twice. Is that a typo?
Pardon me, Councilman, would you mind just reiterating the line item?
Sure. It's 12-360, which is the same number for the line item for professional services.
Correct. That would be that would be a typo on the line item. As the budget hasn't been passed yet, we'd have to create a new one once it does.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure for future reference, so that there wasn't any confusion. The estimate of $5,000, I'm not sure exactly how that was come to, given the number of municipal court sessions.
The number was come to from the office of the city solicitor, Solicitor Ursillo. We had a conversation about the necessity of having this service available. As of present, we haven't had a member of the public request a public defender, but it's important that we have it there, and the solicitor believes that this is a more than adequate amount to handle that.
And would there be any specific cases that the public defender would handle or would not handle of the types of different citations that would be given in the municipal court, whether we're talking property violations, motor vehicle violations, or would it be any and all of the above?
Any and all of the above.
Okay. No further questions for the moment.
Councilman Lattiser.
So in 2022-2023, this department was funded, using round numbers, $448,000. In 2024, that was increased to $457,000. And this year, this is professional services now I'm referring to. This year, it's being increased to $466,000. Why?
Certainly. So as you recall from the previous budget, the budgets that the mayor has submitted, the solicitor's office has requested and received through the passage of the budget, I believe either a 2% increase or a 2.75% increase, depending on the year, commensurate with what raises were recommended for non-union municipal staff. As you know from the mayor's budget message, that's not something that's included in this year's budget. But the mayor felt it was important to provide a recommended raise for the solicitor and the assistant solicitors for similar reasons to the previous year, and just keeping up with the cost of inflation and other matters. Really, the legal department, as you know, they don't have a physical office here at Warwick City Hall. So we think of them separately from, you know, the rest of the non-union city employees.
They're a subcontractor, right?
I think that's a fair statement. We don't cover any fringe benefits for them.
So they're either an employee or they're a subcontractor. So what did we actually spend in that line item last year?
Councilman, I don't have that exact number before us, but I'd be happy to get it for you. I do know that. When you say last year, do you mean fiscal year 23 or current fiscal year 24?
Fiscal year 23.
Sure. As I recall from my time processing those invoices in my previous role, thank you, Councilman. As the finance director pointed out to me, in fiscal year 23, we spent $366 over the exact amount. In the current fiscal year, we project that we will spend the entirety of the solicitor's budget.
So in fiscal year 2024, right now, you project that we're going to spend an additional $100,000. Is that what you're saying?
No.
About. Well, you're in at 466, and if last year you spent 366, that's $100,000.
No, Councilman. We anticipate spending the entirety of the $456,960, okay, which is budgeted.
So $90,000, right?
We expect to expend what was budgeted.
Okay. And would this be the first time since we've had this particular firm as solicitor that we've exhausted the entire budget?
Not to my knowledge, Councilman.
No.
And just for clarification, the solicitor's office, the office of City Solicitor Michael Ursillo at Ursillo Tights and Rich, they do not house all of the other assistant solicitors. They're from separate firms. Okay.
And this $5,000 is being viewed as an extra duty of the solicitor's office?
No, Councilman. This additional line item of $5,000 is viewed as contingency. It's our understanding with City Solicitor Ursillo that should a public defender need to be provided, it will not be provided from his office, as well as any of the assistant solicitors for the city, as that would constitute a conflict.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else? Council members that haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Ricks.
One follow-up. I agree it would be a conflict of interest if the city solicitor were to select the public defender, but how exactly would the public defender be selected?
The city solicitor would select the public defender with the acquiescence of the member of the public who's requesting it. the conflict would arise if Solicitor Ursillo asked one of our assistant solicitors to represent as the public defender.
It occurs to me that there may be still be a bit of a conflict there, in that if the prosecutor is the one selecting who the public defender is, I'm not sure if that's the best way to go about it, but
we'd be happy to, like I said, with the acquiescence of the member of the public who needs the public defender, I'm sure there'll be a conversation with that member and the municipal court judge as well, whether it's Solicitor Ursillo offering, you know, three different attorneys who could provide that service.
Yeah, I think that, not to get too deep into the weeds here, I'm not opposed to having a public defender be present. It's something that I'm not familiar with, there being those sorts of services offered at municipal courts in Rhode Island. It may be possible. I'm certainly not aware of the practices at all of the different municipal courts across the state. And as I think about it, it does seem like something that should be a service that should be offered as part of the United States and Rhode Island constitutions. If there is going to be a public defender or public defender services that are being offered, I'd want to make sure that that particular attorney is being selected in a particular way to avoid the conflict of any conflict of interest or the appearance of a potential conflict of interest. So I would suggest that there be some sort of a process where the city council would either have the appointment of that person, or the city council have, pardon me, I'm blanking on the phrase, advice and consent as to the appointment of that person. But I suppose that's a separate discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
I was just going to add that the municipal court should just mirror the criminal court and district court as far as just maintaining a list rather than having the solicitor maintain it. So either the municipal judge can maintain it or the city itself. But I feel like this is not entirely on point for today's topic, though.
Correct. Any other questions for members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the legal department's budget? Any questions from members of the council, members of the public on the legal department's budget?